You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every single Premier League match week. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle.
And after a little summer break, we're back in full-on Premier League mode and got you covered for everything you'll need in the 2023-24 campaign that kicks off this weekend. Right, we're going to do our kind of usual preview, but we're going to do it in a slightly different way because we're going to break this kind of league up into five topics, five sort of burning questions for each topic. And we're going to start, Robbie Musto, with question one. And we're going to start at the top of the table because it's a place to start with the champions. What do you expect from Manchester City this season after a treble winning season last season where basically everything went as well as Pep could have wanted?
Well, I think the first thing to think about as we sit and record this, Rob, on what are we, August the 7th? Is the transfer window and what changes have been made. Now, Mateo Kovacic obviously has come into the football club to, I guess, you know, negate the departure of Ilkay Gundogan. Riyad Mahrez has left as well for Saudi Arabia. So there's a little bit of change there. And I think Pep doesn't mind that little bit of change. But just on the bigger picture with them, you know, with what they did with that treble, almost reaching the promised land, Rob, and everything that they set out to do from years and years ago, they've achieved it all in an incredible season last year. Now, you know, I think the last two seasons, I have not backed Man City to keep doing it, Rob. And that's where they've proven me wrong over the last two seasons. You went with them again last year. I didn't because I just can't believe how hard it must be to go again. Now, this season, I'm going to say the same thing, Rob. I am going to say that they can't, after that season, find a way, a week in, week out, which is what they do in an astonishing way. And you know, I'm not just saying it about this, Rob, but it's so difficult. The way they finish off unbeaten again until the last few games to finish or to get clear of Arsenal was remarkable. And I just think, Rob, my one worry or an extra worry is that little bit of change has happened this time. Ilkay Gundogan, as we loved him last year and everything else that he did, I think that's going to be a big miss. Now, if you're thinking of Kovacic, he's going to score those goals. For me, he's not. He's not going to get the numbers that Gundogan has got. Now, Riyad Mahrez has left again. Wasn't maybe the first choice on that right-hand side, but came in many, many times. All I would say, Rob, is there's rumours of Kyle Walker leaving for Bayern. Yeah. Bernardo Silva, possibly for Barcelona. I would just say this as I finish this first kind of answer, really, is if Bernardo Silva goes and maybe one another, and I know they brought in Gvardiol, this brilliant Croatian defender from RB Leipzig for a big fee. I mean, City are brilliantly set for the defensive line. I just think where City could mess up a little bit is Pep rotates. And if that squad, through the changes that we're seeing this summer, and of course the summer window's not closed yet, if those changes bring about more departures, then maybe the rotations and the games, Rob, where he brings in different players, means that they drop more points than you might normally expect. If the squad is weaker, then that might be a reason that others can get a boost that they can get ahead of them.
Well, yeah. I take all your points, some of which I've got a similar note. I think, and we've just had a production call, Robin, you know, we were talking about the season and looking at it from different angles. And I said, this is one of the most indecisive seasons I can remember at the top end of the table, because I don't quite know what some teams might do. What might Arsenal do? What might Chelsea do? What might Spurs do? Where are United going to go? Are Liverpool going to come back? One thing I do know, Rob, the certainty is Manchester City will be fighting for a title. I absolutely know that. and it's four straight. And I know you talked about the big question is, what has the treble, what has winning the Champions League done to this group?
Yeah,
I totally agree. The one note I've got is losing Gundogan and Mahrez. It's not just losing two very good players. At times they've been game changers, Rob. Gundogan's come up in big moments. Remember the end of the season against Villa? Goals, you know. Mahrez, Champions League, come up with moments. So no, it wasn't just their performances. Mm. They've come up with big moments, game-changing moments. Can Kovacic do that? Can Foden now, who's going to get more and more game time, and Grealish and that, can they fill that void? I think that's a question. Pep, I was reading a little bit about Pep today, and he said, I need to find out with this group how hungry we are. And I thought it was a really interesting thing for him to say, because we always know his teams are driven. We all know that. But the thing I'm unsure of is, what has that treble done to this group, Rob? In any way, does it take a little bit away from it? I don't know. I think the answer is no. And I think Pep won't allow it. And I still back them to win it. But my big question is, what has winning the treble and that Champions League that they've wanted so badly, what does that do to the group?
Well, that's interesting, Rob, because I'll follow on immediately, because there was a really good article. I've read a few things. Of course, we're reading stuff, you know, all the time during the summer window. But there was an article, I can't think of what it was in now, but it talked about Manchester United's treble, Rob. I think Rio Ferdinand was quoted. Yeah. It talked about, I think it was The Athletic, it talked about the Dwight York syndrome, where I think Dwight York, Rob, might have asked for a season off. Like after the winning the treble, I think he said something to the managers like, you know what, can I go back, or whatever his personal reasons were. And basically the piece was just about this. After the treble, how does it affect you? And it basically said that it did affect Man United a little bit, that they weren't quite the same. They did take her off the ball. Now, that's not saying it's going to happen at City, but, you know, it's in my thoughts. You know, you just brought it up there about how it does to them. And again, that's why I said at the start, before, when they've won things, they bounce back, and we eulogize about their mentality and the manager and everybody else. But I mean, really, like, certainly with the Champions League, to get there and to win that. So that will be, and Pep will look. And Pep said as well, Robin, another article I read, that when he was at Barcelona and they achieved great things, he just reckons he could sniff when things needed freshen up, and he made some changes. I think the front players might have changed around at that time.
Yeah.
So that's what he'll be doing. There's a little bit of time with the window left. They've got in the big defender.
Yeah.
But anymore, if Bernardo Silva leaves, Rob, I mean, that.
Yeah, that would be a worry. That would be a worry. It's interesting as well. So you've mentioned about that. I think for the last two, three seasons, every time we get to this place, people generally are looking for reasons why City can't win it.
Yeah.
You couldn't win it without a striker. You can't win it with a false nine.
Yeah.
Can't win it with Haaland. He's not going to fit. Now we're looking at, what has the treble done?
Mm.
The thing that also, Rob, is up for grabs is another record to win four straight Premier Leagues. Never been done. So Alex Ferguson, as great as he was, never won four straight Premier Leagues.
That's another.
We know how driven this fella. Mm. We know how driven this fella is. We know he wants records. We know when he leaves, Rob, he wants to go. And I'm going to point you to one other thing that really caught my eye. Again, we all do our reading and our background to make sure we're up to speed with things. A certain gentleman's come back into the backroom staff, Rob. Juan Lilo, who many of our viewers and listeners might not know. Just take a little look at him, do a little bit of background. Very well respected, almost to the Bielsa level of somebody who's been a young coach, who've young players who were going into management, studied, were around. And Pep said a brilliant thing that stood me when he said, he's the best assistant in bad moments. He said, good moments, I don't need an assistant. In bad moments, he's the best thing. And he's got Pep's respect. And there might be, as you said, some bad moments. There might be sniffing a couple of things. There might be the Juan Lilo will make sure standards are maintained and Pep is on top of his game as well. Because maybe, listen, as great as Pep and as driven as Pep is, maybe he just somehow isn't quite the same guy. Juan Lilo coming back is a big move for Pep Guardiola and Manchester City.
Yeah, particularly for this season, Rob, because like last season, he went off and did something different. I guess it was so great they didn't need that. They didn't need the bad moment kind of help. But maybe this season they might. So it's interesting. Yeah, I did see that note. And, you know, I think he's a real favorite of Pep.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think we should move it on, Rob, to question number two, if that's okay with you.
And the
question number two is, who is best poised to challenge Man City this season? Now, again, we should start at the very top. Of course, last year it was Arsenal that challenged Man City right towards the end. They fell away, of course, to the back end of last season. Things have changed this summer. I've got to say, Rob, you know, I really like Arsenal's window. There's so much. And by the way, you know, every team, we could get into so much detail about it or what happened. But just quickly on, of course, their notable signings that we have here. Declan Rice, massive fee. Yeah, they got him, which I think, by the way, let me just go through the names first. So Kai Havertz is the interesting one from Chelsea. Mm-hmm. These are all big fees, by the way. Huge fee for Declan Rice. Where is his number? $135 million, I think, is up to for Declan Rice, a Premier League record. Jurrien Timber, $49 million. And Kai Havertz, $83 million. Yeah. They're the three new signings. And just quickly on those, Rob, before I let you jump in, I think that Declan Rice, $135 million, Rob, apart from being a brilliant sign-in, in my opinion, in terms of what he can do, I think it is a statement signing. I think it is wow, like the Cronkies and this football club are investing at the right time. They've gone for the player that many, many teams wanted, and they outbid. They got preferred to Man City, wanted him as well, Rob. So that, with the money, with the timing, with the sort of player he is, and some might argue that that's a lot of money for a holding midfield player, and maybe that guy should do a little bit more. But in terms of a signing and a kind of statement of intent from this football club, we all know exactly what they want this season, which is a Premier League title. And this signing, I just think, is so powerful in regards to that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Declan Rice is a diamond signing. I know it's a lot of money, Rob. He might be there at the football club 8 to 10 years. Well, there was a period last season when it just started to go away from Arsenal. Remember the West Ham game? Thomas Partey trying to flick a ball in the field, got caught out.
Declan Rice got him.
Declan Rice doesn't do that, Rob. Declan Rice addresses that issue. Declan Rice has a maturity about him that's really impressive for somebody that young. I think Declan Rice, the footballer, there's more to come. I think he can get forward at times a bit more as an eight. And make things out. I think he can see a last pass. I think he's got the ability. I think he can see a goal. I think he's good size. He can go and get you 6 or 7 goals from midfield if the setup's right. When I look at Arsenal, Rob, I looked at start of last season, 2022. Arsenal had a team good enough to challenge to win the title in 2022. In 2023, at the turn of the year, The depth of Arsenal's squad showed up that they didn't have a squad to challenge. Because when they had to make some big changes, it was not like for like.
No.
What they do have now is more competition. When you see Trossard, you know, Jesus is not involved in Mama. Havertz is playing. Martinez, Saka, midfield with Partey, Odegaard, Rice. There's a
Smith
bit more
Rowe.
About, isn't there?
There's quite a Smith few. Rowe,
yeah. And then Nketiah, and then the back lads, you know, bringing in Saliba back's huge. Timber coming in gives them options. Ben White can play in different positions. All of a sudden, I'm kind of seeing the things that I just, my big question in this one, Rob, with Arsenal is, how much have they learned from last year? How much have they taken, matured? And it was into the game. We had a production call a little earlier, and we're talking to some of the boys in England and all that. And there was a point that I'd made that Lee Dixon touched on. And I think it's a big season now for Mikel Arteta. He's been back, Rob. The Cronkies have given him kind of mostly what he wants.
It's a lot of money.
You know, it's a lot of money. It's time to maybe go closer. I'm not saying you have to win it, but maybe now that slip that came and that little indecision, can you go closer?
Yeah.
And the thing that I want to find from Mikel Arteta, Robin, it's kind of, I don't mean this in a critical way. I mean it in a way that he's got to mature and get over, you know, sort of grow from what happened last season is, I want to see who Mikel Arteta is now this season. How does he handle things, whether it's disappointments, whether it's winning, whether it's being topped by 8 points or chasing by 8 points? Who is he and how does he do it, Rob? Because I always get the sense, and maybe some of it's because of watching the documentary and we saw behind the scenes, but there's a part of me that feels like Arteta is always thinking what he should be doing or what he should be saying to get the right result. Doesn't ever quite feel as natural as Pep, as Klopp, as Sir Alex, as Arsene Wenger. They look like they were who they were, and that's how they were. I always feel with Arteta, he's struggling to find.
But does it matter, Rob? Does it matter? By the way, and I agree with you. It's almost like he's a manufactured. Like what do I think is going to be a best for my behaviour on the sideline? And he's over the top. Whether that's normal or natural for him or not. But even so, is it that important, Rob? When you talk about it, that you know he's got to find the real. Is it that important?
Yeah, it is. I think because I think he's got to lead him. He's got to take him to it. When you're asking Pep, is it important? Pep is how he drives that team. I think there's a time. There'll be a point in the season when Arteta will have to have grown from the Arteta we saw last year.
I'm not. I just don't know in the big picture of things and his behaviour. I know, you know, he's jumping around. He got a yellow card again in the Community Shield this weekend again. I mean, it is whether that's normal the way he is or he's trying to provide that from the sideline somehow. I don't know. I'll tell you what, then, Rob. Let's just go through there's a few stories around Arsenal now and a few headlines that I just want to go through a little bit. And by the way, just before I do that, we did speak to Mikel Arteta, Rob, didn't we? And we should tell people that because we had a great conversation.
Actually, yeah. With Edu and Vinay, the commercial manager.
CEO. We had a really good...
Together, weren't they?
It was very together.
Very together. Yeah. Great understanding of each other's roles and, you know, the part that each other played.
Yeah,
I thought it was excellent. We had an excellent conversation.
We had a great conversation, and you know, we don't want it. It was kind of more of a private kind of facts gathering and just information for us to get. But he did talk about the squad now with the signings. They were looking for quality, looking for depth. They were looking for leadership, and they were looking for desire. It's like that hunger, Rob. Arteta, you mentioned it a couple of times, as though maybe in some of the key moments. He maybe didn't have a couple of players out there that would just grab a few of them, the younger ones maybe, and I mean, to try and get them back on track. But anyway, but just a few things I want to chat to you about. First one being Kai Havertz. Yes. Kai Havertz from Chelsea going to Arsenal is the one of these three big signings where I'm like, is he? What can Mikel do differently? Obviously, Arteta feels that he can play him in a different spot or get something that takes the potential and the raw talent from that he's obviously got Kai Havertz into production of assists and of possession of goals and of creativity. I'm not, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't have done it. I'll say that. I would not spend that amount of money. It was $83 million on a player that I know it's different, and Arsenal's different to Chelsea, but I would not have done that. I would have found another avenue to go down to. So what do you feel about what he's done with
his time? I like it. I quite like it, I have to say. I'll tell you why I quite like it, because I think Havertz, let's say Jesus plays, and he's playing as a more as a midfield, and can play as a false nine, coming back in he's an intelligent footballer, so he's got that. And if pace comes from the outside with Martinelli and Saka, and he's coming deeper, I think that gives them good options, maybe if Jesus isn't scoring or injured as he is now. But more than that, Rob, I think if you put Kai Havertz in the spots where Granit Xhaka was getting to with Arsenal's build-up and possession, I think Kai Havertz can take you to another level of creativity, of assists, of goal scoring. I think there's more goals in him, and I'm the most critical of him in terms of sometimes he doesn't have the killer about him, he doesn't finish with any conviction. No. But the player who was bought at Chelsea, the German international, who can get from box to box, who can finish, I think Mikel Arteta believes he can get that out of him. And I think he's thinking, I can have Granit Xhaka plus with Kai Havertz, because Granit Xhaka does great things, but he's not a natural. He hasn't got that technical ability. He hasn't got that creative ability that Kai Havertz has. I think he's saying Kai Havertz in that spot can produce me so much more for my team and be almost another source of 8+ goals.
Okay. Yeah, and in the ideal scenario, I don't disagree with that. That's potentially what he can do. I think in Germany, that was a more that he rolled that he played in, and number eight getting forward. I would throw back at you, the Granit Xhaka was very, very useful in defensive side of things a little bit. When the ball turned over, when they were under pressure and they had to come back into a different system where he'd play alongside Thomas Partey to make a 4-4-2.
Well, haven't I got Rice to do that a little bit more?
But if Partey's not playing, our understanding is from the conversation with Mikel Arteta that the theory is Declan Rice holding, Kai Havertz to the left, and Odegaard to the right-hand side. That in terms of the old balance of artists and soldiers, that's you're getting more creativity, but you might lose out a little bit where... I'm just chucking it out there. And they might bring a defender into that spot, which has happened a lot, and that might happen. But it's just one thing to note. I just think it's interesting. And if Havertz has a good season, if he gets over 10 goals, 12 goals, and he assists 5 or 6+, then like, well done. That's a great pickup that nobody saw coming. But I think it's interesting, and we'll see.
It's a good shout.
Next one I'll throw at you. Now, this isn't confirmed yet, so you know maybe we shouldn't spend too much time on it. But David Raya, Robbie Earl, from Brentford, £40 million. David Raya, the goalkeeper, is strongly linked, and I think it's getting quite close.
I think that's done, isn't it? I think that's done. I think that's done now, right?
Well, if it's done or not done,
All
right. Interesting. So if it's done, what's all that about? Like that £40 million for a goal? Is he going to be number two? What does Ramsdale feel about this? What's the idea? They need to spend
is competition. The idea is that keeping Ramsdale on his toes. The idea is Ramsdale's one, but we've got a very good two.
And is he going to be happy to spend sit on the bench, David Raya? If you're the owner, to spend 40 million to sit on the bench?
I don't think he's guaranteed him the number one spot, has he?
I cannot
believe. So he's got to say, Ramsdale's my number one. And, you know, but if Ramsdale's form dropped, and there was a little bit of criticism, and we've all seen the Ramsdale interview that was, you know, brilliantly done and very open and very honest, and shows another side to footballers sometimes that we all should take note of. But, you know, if Ramsdale's form drops a little bit, Mikel Arteta has given himself a safety net that might not affect the team.
I just think it's an expensive safety. I mean, Matt Turner, was he that bad? Is he that much of a drop off?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe is he playing out the back? Is it his handling? Is it his work with the back four? I don't know. Mm. But I quite like that, because that puts the manager in a tougher position. You know, it's a tougher position now because you've got David Raya, who's, you know, established Premier League goalkeeper, has been bought for 40 million. At some point, he's not going to be happy, or he's going to want to play, but he'll sit there for a while. But that also shows a confidence in Arteta that, yeah, I can handle that. It's okay. It's okay. I'll deal with him.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to certainly watch, and we'll see whether that is confirmed or not. And the final one, Rob, just I'm just thinking about like the Community Shield. Arsenal won the Community Shield, of course, at the weekend. They beat Arsenal on penalties. So Kai Havertz brought into the club to play as number eight, and he plays up front. Rob, plays as a number nine. I'm like, oh, well, you know, this
Jesus
didn't
work, is injured, isn't he?
So my question to you is, why doesn't he play Nketiah? And why didn't he play Trossard as a nine or a false nine, which I love the bits. I think Leandro Trossard.
Yeah, Trossard.
Is absolutely knocking on the door to be a starting
player.
He's
been banging goals all pre-season, hasn't he? Yeah, he's gone. But again, Chelsea Community Shield, end up winning, getting him in the team, getting him minutes, getting him rhythm, maybe building his confidence a little bit, Rob. He's a young man who came for a lot of money, came to London, was at Chelsea, didn't quite work, had a load of managers. Maybe he needs a little bit of love. Maybe Mikel thinks, you know, let's get him out there, let him be a big part of this. Again, I didn't mind that too much. I still think there's... listen, at the end of the day, he'll be criticised or not on whether those work and whether those signings right and how the balance is, and is there enough legs in there when they need to win possession? Does he change things up? Maybe Partey comes in, one of them plays. You know, I don't know. But I'm kind of, you know what I'm really hopeful, Rob, is that they can sustain the challenge for longer.
Yeah.
And not allow City to eventually force their way past, and then it was never really in doubt. Can they put some doubt in this City group?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, the Champions League, of course, is a different. They've got those games to contend with now, that's when the rotation starts to happen. But you know, as we wrap up from Arsenal right now, I'm looking forward to. I think it's a great time to spend a load of money when the team are on the up. Surge, they've had a brilliant season. That's when you invest, and they've really, really invested well. We haven't got to Yuri and Timber, Rob, who I think looks really, really good footballer. Really good player. Can play anywhere across the back line. You talk about cover now. Arsenal got good defensive cover in all spots now with that signing. So I think it's exciting times for Arsenal fans. I think they've improved. The squad is better. And it's young. Remember, we said about we don't know what the ceiling is yet. We don't know what the ceiling is. They've improved.
Very young.
They can get even better.
Development. Let's move on to another team who would like, I think, or the manager would like to think at least they'll be challenging at some point. Manchester United, third last season, 75 points under Ten Hag, got Champions League football, won a League Cup. So progression, improvement. What does this season hold, Rob? Can they get closer? Can they become part of the top two? Can they at some point have a little challenge somewhere? You know, halfway through the season, could they be in and around it and maybe just fall off?
Difficult to give you a firm answer right now. What I would say is, I like the window again. I like the window, and maybe the theme of this when we go through some of these big clubs, Rob, is that you know it's difficult to see which one is going to be unexpectedly bad. Right, because we had Chelsea last year that was unexpectedly bad. Spurs again unexpectedly ended up being bad. This year with the managers, with the signings, I kind of like a lot of it. Mason Mount, big fan of his. Surprised he ended up leaving Chelsea, but Man United have benefited from that. I think he's got the number 7 shirt. He's going to play as an attacking midfield player. I took a look at their last game in pre-season where he's lively, and you got a midfield, Rob. A midfield three of Casemiro, Mason Mount, and Bruno Fernandes. That's very good.
He's got to produce the numbers, though, for me, Mason.
He's got to produce the numbers.
I'm still a little... I mean, I love him as a player, and he's great for England, but got to be producing those numbers, Rob, to have that shirt, to have that position in for Manchester United.
But if he can, that's a fantastic, assuming no drop off for Casemiro with his, of course, he's a little older and stuff, but that's a fantastic midfield. Andre Onana was a big call. And Eric Ten Hag, big call. We've seen.
He knows people, George, though, doesn't he? Often goes with people he knows or has worked with.
But I guess he is not afraid of making big calls. Ronaldo was a big call. The whole Harry Maguire, that they're taking him out the side, playing Shaw in there in his place, taking the captaincy away now to Bruno Fernandes and changing the goalkeeper. Almost like a late decision to change David De Gea, maybe on the back of the FA Cup final. I don't know. But this is a big change, Rob. This is a big change.
Yeah, this is and a huge one. This one.
Do you like it?
It's going to take time, Rob. I'll tell you what, it's going to take time. And it's slightly, it worries me a little bit at day one. I like it for the long term, but I think there could be a bit of teething problems for
Why?
It.
How?
Because I think his personality, I think he is who he is. We've seen him get beaten. He's talked about, you know, he's having to go at defenders. He's going to get on the ball. He's going to come out. He does his thing. Good in possession. But I think that relationship between him and these defenders might take a moment, might take... half a season for to get to know each other. Just wondering that time, you just got to be careful that, you know, relationships stay strong and the bond stays good and things. So the long term, I see it. I'm just a little concerned for the short term on it, Rob.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't really... That's a good point. I mean, just to settling into the side, because I think everybody agrees that Manchester United... are going to be different based on the goalkeeper and based on what he does and how good he is on the ball and pinging the ball with with both feet. I've seen him in the past, but he's really good on the ball. And he plays super high. He plays like another
takes
defender.
Takes a bit of a risk as well, bud. Don't mind the risk.
It's a risk that I'm loving it. I don't mind the risk. Now, they scored, didn't they? The goal, he just got lobbed from inside his own halfway line. The risk that you're talking about. That in that high position, which is great for keeping the ball. I mean, if you're an opponent, you want to press them, and the goalkeeper is always going to be the spare man. He's comfortable on it, and he can make good passes. A little bit like Edison does. It's Edison even more so, as almost like a sweeper keeper. Yeah. And that's a phrase that we've thrown around for a while now. But I think with Onana, you're going to see, and maybe some other goalkeepers, James Trafford, I think, is another one at Burnley.
I think this is the next
evolution of goalkeeping, where these goalkeepers are not only good on the ball, they are coming out. They're coming out.
They're like defenders now, mate.
They're like defenders. That's going to be a theme, I think, of the season.
Absolutely.
I think he changes the way that they play in terms of their build-up play. And the other one is Rasmus Højlund. This is an exciting striker. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. So, you know, as soon as he comes in, you start doing your research, go and have a good look at him, Rob. I think, again, like the goalkeeper, I think it might be 2 years before you see the best of him. I think he's 22 years of age. Nice left foot, rolls people, uses his body, got good pace, can join in, play off the central position. Looks like he can smash a ball with that left foot. He's got like a hammer in that.
Yeah.
A bit Van Persie-esque, how he smashes it. But he's going to, listen, he hasn't had a lot of football, Rob. I looked at his records. He hasn't been playing for that long, two or three years at any kind of level. But the goals look good. You know, he gives them options. When you think then you've got Rashford, Martial, who's still at the football club, Sancho, interesting season, Anthony.
Garnacho.
And Garnacho, who looks, all of a sudden, it's an exciting front line that is young, that isn't guaranteeing you the Ronaldo numbers, but can grow together into a really, really good attack.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I think, you know, you can look at this in two different ways. You can look at, like you just said it, these young players that are growing, that are improving, that are getting minutes of this giant football club at Old Trafford to handle that pressure. There's options in wide areas. Not only is he the striker they desperately needed anyway, because their goals, I think they're the lowest scorers last year in the top six Manchester United, so they need the goals. Yeah. And it also throws Marcus Rashford on the left-hand side. For me, that's where I think he's absolutely at his best. Brilliant on the left-hand side. And this is, by the way, is if Højlund kind of hits the ground running, Rob, and he ends up...
Yeah.
I don't know whether he's going to start, you know, in the first couple of two or three games, whether he's more of a...
Yeah.
Is it slower?
Coming but off the bench.
If he gets that starting position and starts to look the part, then on the right side, you've got... I mean, you've just got good options with those other winger players.
Options,
and on the back
of
that midfield... And the goalkeeper in the back four, it's time to start getting a little bit excited if you're Manchester United. Now, on the other side of that coin, what might worry me if I'm a United fan would be, well, it's still a bit of inconsistency, Rob. Garnacho's so young, but looks great. Jadon Sancho is inconsistent. You could argue that Antony looks brilliant sometimes and he drifts out of games. Marcus Rashford, even though he had a great year last year, we haven't seen that every single season from him. And now you've got this striker, Rasmus Højlund, looking at, again, back to the videos and stuff, and of course on YouTube now, Rob, you can see a ton of stuff on this guy. And there's one interesting video, Rob, that actually my son picked out. And it was basically every shot that he made last year. So not just the highlights of a player where you see the best bits, but every shot. Mm. So then you see the good, bad, and the ugly. And kind of like when people suggest that he's a little raw, you absolutely see it in the finishing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like that left foot, he scores some great goals, smashes it into off the crossbar and some lovely finishes. But other times he's one-on-one, Rob, and he's just a little bit rushing with his finish. He's not clinical. Yeah, he's not, you know, he's not like what Harry Kane goes through and you know he's going to score. Mm. So he's a little bit raw. And that's only to be expected. What is he, 20 years of age or something? Super. He's 20 years of age. And apparently I'm just looking at my notes here. He can do 100 meters in under 11 seconds, Rob. So
he's
very, very, very quick. Great left foot. And what I also liked from seeing some of the stuff, the clips and watching a little bit of him is he's got a little bit about him, Rob, with skill.
Yeah.
He's got a little fake. He's got a little move. So, they've been looking for a striker for a long period of time. And maybe, Rob, and Man United in the past, they've kind of bought the finished article, haven't they?
Well, they could afford to, couldn't they? Yeah.
They could afford
Van Nistelrooy and all those kind of top end.
Yeah, Andy Cole, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is a little different. And I think it's going to be interesting and exciting to see how he looks. Because I think Old Trafford, the fans want to see him early, mate.
Yeah, for sure. And if the goals start going in, his confidence grows. Yeah,
they're going to love him.
Better place, is it? There's no better place. And in some respects, Rob, there's no better manager as well. I like what Ten Hag's doing. He's moulding this team to suit his style, his personality, what he wants. He wants young players who, you know, there's learning, there's still more growth, there's still more potential. He isn't necessarily, you know, he's got his Casemiros in the middle of the park who can dominate the game and hold things together. But, you know, apart from that, ahead of there, he's got young talent who can go and make things happen. And I think with them, it's going to be the consistency of results. The thing that happened with United, and it's one of the things that I wrote down with my notes, is Rob, United didn't have had a bad start last season and had to play catch up. And there was just a few games where, when something goes wrong, it went badly wrong. They couldn't have, it was like the handbrake couldn't go on. There was something about their setup that wasn't quite right. And that's something they've got to learn to address collectively. You know, when things just sort of go a little bit wrong, how do we solid and being hard to play against for a little while, and then we'll get our football back going again.
Yeah, it's interesting, Rob. Just again to finalise on this for me, you know, I think it's over £400 million, Rob. Over £400 million spent with Erik ten Hag as a manager. And if you look at some of the signings, he's basically got a new spine now. There's a new spine from the goalkeeper that they've just bought, of course, from Lisandro Martinez, from Casemiro to Rasmus Højlund. You know, that's a brand new spine. And I think when you can add in some of the talent they've got in the wider areas, I still really like Luke Shaw. Dalot right back, you know,
It was okay. Maybe there's an upgrade to come.
Maybe it's an upgrade to come. But it's starting the shape. The team is. It's a lot of money now. Yeah. It's a little bit of time. I think we should expect even better things this upcoming season for Manchester United.
Okay, my friend, Liverpool, another team who I sort of say my phrase on Liverpool. Maybe Liverpool fans, like, they almost had a gap year last year. You know, when you get caught up in your education, you go away for a year, you kind of let yourself. I kind of felt Liverpool had a gap year last year, you know, 567 points. You open league football, which is Thursday night football, which is never great, if you know, when you're pushing for the Premier League, and they're going to have to deal with that and the travel, and obviously, depending how seriously they take that. But are Liverpool ready for a return to a challenge, Rob, to Champions League finish and challenging again? Have we seen enough that maybe with Trent going into midfield and working on a different system and a new midfield, that's really going to be interesting now with, you know, they've lost Bobby Firmino, they've lost Jordan Henderson, and they've lost
Fabinho.
Three big players, experienced players, a bit like City players who've known what big moments are. It's a very different look in that midfield. You know, the front line, I think, speaks for itself and the what that can do. But that midfield and maybe the change with Trent, is that good enough to get Liverpool back in amongst it?
Well, that's it. That's the question. That's the question. Front line, don't need to talk about it. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant options. Five players that can play all across the front line. There's production, assists and goals and pace and everything there. Love the front line. Now, the midfield, as you said, is in almost at the end of a total reconstruction. Total. Yeah. Fabinho's gone. Yeah. They're looking for the holding player now. Romeo Lavia, of course, from Southampton. They've had
one more go, aren't they?
Desperation. Not desperation, but that's a... Well, they need that. I mean, I think Curtis Jones played in pre-season in that holding role. But I absolutely love Alexis McAllister. And Szoboszlai, the other ball player on the other side of that midfield for another big fee there. I think it was $76 million from Leipzig. So, that's a good-looking midfield. The absolute key, and I watched a recent pre-season game. They lost, it was Bayern, wasn't it? 4-3. Yeah, I still worry about them defensively. Now, if this falls on the manager and the football club, Rob, because if we still see this upcoming season a better midfield and, of course, plenty of goals, not worried about goals, if they still lose 4-3 and concede a lot of goals, that has to be addressed now. Now, if they are going to go with the Trent, which I like, from right back into midfield to play alongside the holding player, pushes McAllister and Szoboszlai on. Brilliant. But... Joel Matip doesn't look comfortable in, if you say it's a three.
That right side,
on the right side. Now, Ibrahima Konate, I think, can do that a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, there always seems to be a little injury or whatever. He's not a consistent blimmin' player alongside new captain Virgil van Dijk and then Andy Robertson. That's the key for me, Rob. That's the key. I'm assuming they're going to buy a holding player. So, and I'm kind of assuming that midfield is going to find its way pretty quickly because I like the two guys at the moment. But I still worry. I think they're going to be better than last season.
Yeah.
But if they find a way, if they buy maybe you have to buy a new right back or maybe another defender to give options to that right
deal
side
because
I still see goals going in against Liverpool down that side of the field. And it's been going a long time now. So Jurgen Klopp, for me, come on, let's find, because this is almost, apart from the holding, it's almost the final piece. Let's be stronger defensively because going forward, you know, we're looking really, really strong. So I think they can go a lot better this year, Robbie. I expect them to bounce back.
Yeah. And I read some actually, which is sort of surprised me, but then I didn't think about that much. Jurgen Klopp's the longest serving Premier League manager now.
Is he?
In the league, yeah.
Well, it's close to Pep, isn't it? I mean, it's very close to Pep.
Yeah, but he came before Pep, didn't he? He came just before Pep, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure they're going to want to bounce back. And as you say, they're going to have to deal with that right hand side. You know, Trent going in, I think, is a bonus and he gives you so much going forward. But you've got to secure things at the back. Virgil van Dijk, new captain, Rob, that might have a bit of an effect in, you know, boost him again. Obviously, we know he had the terrible injury and was not quite at his best last season. But big season for Liverpool, big season for Jurgen Klopp. All right, my friend, I'm going to move on to question three. So we took our time on that one.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could. Would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Which of the non-Big Six clubs are you most excited about? And I think this year we've got a host of fascinating teams. I'm going to start you with Newcastle, Rob, who some might say are part of a new Big Seven as such. Newcastle United, fourth last season, playing the Premier League series. So we spent a bit of time with Eddie Howe and saw the work and that's been done there. Some decent signings coming to the football club, Harvey Barnes. Sandro Tonali's come in, the midfield player from AC Milan, as well as obviously getting one or two players fit, and the likes of Isak and Callum Wilson. Can Newcastle kind of go again, come again with Champions League football, big Wednesday nights, Tuesday nights, the emotion of that, the depth of squad and the way they play, Rob, which is very intense and energetic. Can they go again and be part of the top four picture?
Well, I'm gonna bring back, Rob, we've mentioned it a couple of times, our big conference call today. And, it was something exactly the same thoughts I had at Peter Drury, our brilliant commentator, brought up on the call, is that Newcastle United, that when the main event was the Premier League games and stuff, they could get up for that. And when the main event became the League Cup final, the Premier League took a bit of a hit. And his point basically was the Champions League games now are going to be so amazingly intense and excited for it that the Premier League might take a hit. And I really do think that's a valid point, Robin, and something I agree with. And that would worry me to finish again in the top four. We get onto some predictions a little later in this podcast, Rob, in this show. But I think in Tonali...
It worries me less, I've got to say, Rob. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, go on then.
Because of the only reason I'd say is, and we spent a bit of time around Eddie Howe, and there was Shay Given and Shaul Ameobi were ambassadors for Newcastle, and we watched some training. We saw Eddie. He's relentless, mate. He's relentless. He trains he gets himself in training. He's intense with all the players. He's intense with all the coaches. Apparently, he trains. And in the evening, he gets the tape and watches the training to see how it's gone and what can be done better. And each week, he was talking. And I did ask him about, with Champions League and Premier League. And he said a couple of things. I said, might you have to change your style? And he went, we won't change our style. We are who we are. If anything, more likely, we'll change personnel. So I get the sense that he's trying to build a squad, and Livermento's come in, and the midfield, he's got good options now. Elliot Anderson started well. Yeah, Tonali, he's got Guimaraes, he's got Joe Ellington. Up front, he's got options on those wide areas. He's got two strikers, Rob, that he can go one midweek in Champions League, one, it can still be big for us in the Premier League. I think he understands what your point, and I'm absolutely not saying it's a bad point that you and Peter make. I think he's in his head, he's already thinking, I can address that.
Well, he might, and of course he'll try and do that, Rob, and of course the squad is bigger, and I get that, and he will make changes from these different competitions, but there still will be a certain amount of players that will play from the Premier League and then the Champions League. And why I think it's valid is because just of the way that they play. And you got a sense of that from watching the training and the intensity. But Newcastle United, for me, last year looked the strongest, the most physical, the most athletic, the fittest team in the Premier League. And when they're at their very best, they run over the top of other Premier League teams. That's got to be tough to do if you're doing it on a weekend and a midweek and a weekend, Rob. Of course, there'll be changes and stuff, but that's their key. And Eddie Howe has said it before that the intensity that they play with is kind of their thing. And when you watch them play, it's so obvious. I just don't know whether you can keep doing that and these different pods of the group stages and the knockout stages and still use that style to win games in the Premier League to get them at a point where they're in the top four, because there's so many teams going to be challenging for that. So I still think that that's going to be difficult unless their game evolves a little bit, which you just said that he said he's not going to change.
I think it's going to be difficult.
Exciting times for the club.
Great times. Really looking forward to Newcastle over the season. What about Brighton, my friend, then? And Roberto De Zerbi, another fascinating one-on-one when you get to talk to him. A brilliant football mind, just oozes kind of quality and understanding and intrigue and tactical nous. European football for them for the first time. Depth of squad, I would say, which is reasonably strong. We know they can find players and you know, they still talk about whether Caicedo will be there. I think it was, didn't they have they had a wide player, I think I wrote a note down. I think it's a Dinger. They call him a young Belgian player who played some player, by the way, mate. Another find, an absolute another find for this football club. How will they deal with Thursday nights and Saturdays and playing the way he wants to play?
Well, amazing, by the way, first off, isn't it? The story of Brighton is amazing. Yeah. Why not? The way that they play is almost polar opposite to Newcastle United. It isn't about the massive energy. It's about tactical cleverness, technical ability, making the pitch big, you know, using technical players to be able to do that. Yes, they've lost Lexis McAllister and also Levi Colwell, Rob. Let's not forget Colwell, the player that's gone back to Chelsea.
Yeah, it was big for them,
Chelsea. It's Simon Adingra is the player. Another one of those finds that scored goals in the summer series. Evan Ferguson still got Julio Enciso. Scored that amazing goal.
Buenanotte,
the young kid. I think he's Argentine, that one. Mitoma is an interest of Manchester City. So James Milner, Rob, is an interesting kind of experience to bring into the dressing room to help with the team as well. Sixth place last season, an FA Cup semi-final, lost on penalties to Manchester United. Brilliant season last year.
He was sneaky good, by the way. João Pedro.
Yeah, 30 million, isn't it? 30
sneaky
million.
Good business, mate. Runs in behind, can hold it up, got good strength, football intelligence, just fits perfectly with what they do. And Danny Welbeck looks like 25-year-old Danny Welbeck. It's incredible what they do.
Yeah, so I can see it continuing. And we've seen this before then, where they lost, you know, Landry Trossard, other players they've lost to other teams, and they still manage to go on and do great things. So I feel like it should be harder, in some ways it should be harder when you lose Alexis McAllister and a couple of others. But I think they'll do it, and I think, you know how much I'm a fan of this coach, everything about him, Rob, the way he speaks, the confidence he speaks with, the way that his team plays. Obviously, is like, I absolutely love to see a footballing team that, you know, the wage bill is so much lower than some of the other teams that they can embarrass them with their football. And I just think, Rob, if the De Zerbi has another season like last year, there's no way that he doesn't get picked up by some of the other ones that end up being disappointed, you know, surprisingly poor of the big six or seven. I think, you know, maybe some of those might just say, well, hang on a minute, it's one season he's been in the Premier League with Brighton. Let's see if he can do it for another season. If he does, which I think he will, I think he absolutely will, mate.
I've got to tell you, he absolutely will. It's gone. Speaking to Pascal Gross, after one of the games, and just said to him, you know, what's it like? And he said, I said, it looks like, you know, it's risky as a midfield player getting balls. I said, I'd be a bit uncomfortable. And he said, you know what? He said, it looks risky to you. And he said, when I first did it, but he said, everybody's got a picture of what we're doing, so everybody knows. So he said, not just me, who's receiving or who's making a run are all the important bits that happen around the way they build out of the back. And when you see it working, it's a thing of beauty, mate. It's an absolute thing of beauty how he's got them. And long may it continue. And the other thing I've got the sense with De Zerbi, and again, listen, talking, you're in his company for a little while. I don't think he's in a rush to go anywhere else, mate, at this time. Okay. I think he's quite enjoying what he's doing with this group and with these players. And he was a bit like, Caicedo ends up going, we'll get our money and we'll find another one and we'll go again.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's great to hear.
It's great to hear. They're not just going to run to a big, you know, the first big club that flutters their eyelashes. Mm. I think he's one of them who's going to run off. So it's going to be, it's going to be really interesting that. Mm. Okay, my friend, I'm going to ask you about a guy who I think we started to admire in the second half season, Unai Emery and Aston Villa. Another non-Big Six team, but exciting times ahead, I sense.
Yeah, again, another team that I think's had a really good window. Pau Torres, centre back. Remember, yeah, watched him play for Spain in the Olympic Games. Been a very, very good player for Villarreal. Yuri Tillemans on a free transfer from Leicester City. Moussa Diaby, the winger from Bayer Leverkusen, yeah, that's good, very, good very business. Well respected, regarded. He's already scored, I think, for them in pre-season.
Yeah,
it's another good window to add to a brilliant season last year. There's talk as well about Tyler Adams is being a target for Aston Villa. Also, by the way, Chelsea, in terms of his, yeah, Chelsea, apparently he's got, yeah, he's got a release clause in his
20
contract.
Million.
What, 20 12, million, I've heard, hasn't 20 million, I've heard 35 million. So yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's still, yeah, you know, I feel about him. That's going to be a good buy for somebody. I mean, the progress they made last year after Steven Gerrard was pretty remarkable, and I have got no reason why they can't continue in a similar way. Good signings. I think, yeah, Yuri Tillemans, Rob, you know, he disappointed a little bit towards the end, yeah, of his, but yeah, he's a good footballer. He's a creative and he's a clever player that can add some quality, whether it's the passing, the score, yeah, the shots from, yeah, distance.
He can do a bit of everything, really, can't he? Yeah. He can dig it out, he can pass the ball, he can score. John McGinn sort of said to me when I was there, I was asking him about a couple of players, said, when you train with Tielemans, you realise, actually, he's even better than you think.
Right.
You know, yeah, he's one of those, I think. The more you see him, the more you go, wow, he can do a bit of everything. And so, yeah, they're going to be exciting to watch. And Unai Emery's got his style of play, building out the back, got players who look completely, you know, the McGinns, the Mings, the Cashes, people playing it. Watkins looks a whole different player. And Watkins and Diaby as a front two with a bit of pace in mind could be a big threat for Aston Villa.
Yeah, I just think another thing just to note that, you know, in June, there was a change in the hierarchy, Rob. And Christian Perslow, yeah, that we know,
that's right,
yeah, left the football club feeling that his influence on signings was a little less. And it's Monchi. Is it Monchi or Monchi?
Yeah, who's worked president in Spain, isn't he?
He worked within Spain and they had great success, yeah, at Sevilla, bringing players in. Yeah. They won European titles, or Europa League titles on the back of that. He's president of football operations now, this Monchi. And there's been talk about him going to different clubs. So that's another, I say small piece, but probably an important piece that's worked, yeah, with Emery before. You know, the club is joined up thinking, isn't it? And we'll probably get to West Ham later on, Rob, in terms of director of football and coach not being on the same page. These two obviously will be, and the club continues to make progress, make good signings, and they can push on. Seventh last year, I think it was, Rob, with 61 points. They're going to be pushing to finish higher than that this next season. So it continues for me to be good news, good stories, good feel, good vibe about Aston Villa.
To be teams with European football, Newcastle, Champions League, Brighton in Europa, Aston Villa's Europa Conference League. But yeah, exciting times ahead. And I still think all three will be pushing on in the Premier League as well.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm going to go to question four, Mr. Muslim. I think this is probably one of the toughest questions of the league. And I want to point to two clubs who we've not talked of as contenders at this stage for a title. They're not the teams who we say are we most excited to watch. I'm talking about Tottenham and Chelsea. And I kind of want to get your sense on who's got the tougher rebuilding job. As we stand right now, as we are, and we know things might happen in the window, but as we stand right now, who's got the bigger rebuilding job? Postecoglou or Pochettino?
Pochettino. Chelsea. Chelsea's a bigger job. Harder job. Tougher job. Bigger, more of a change, Rob. This is going to be... All right, I'll let you have your say in a second.
Yeah.
This is going to be a brand new team with a brand new manager that they've sold you could put the amount of players they've sold, a pretty good team together for Chelsea, who they've got rid of.
But for whatever reason,
Chelsea and the clubs, they've a mass exodus of players out of Chelsea. Had to happen. And more young players that were like, oh, who's that? You're having to do research on some of the signings again. So they for me, are the biggest unknown quantity, Rob. All I know is this, and I'll say this about both of these clubs, and we'll get on to Spurs in a second. I still feel that these two clubs have got good managers in place that both sets of fans are going to see improvement. I mean, it's tough not to, given, you know, the latter part of last year. But I like which way the club have decided to go, particularly Pochettino with this project, with his experience, with how comfortable he is in this league and developing younger players. I think that's going to be exciting. I think Chelsea, and that's why I go back to your question, I still think Chelsea will take longer to find their best Chelsea. And I think it's a tougher job because of that, Rob. More change, more young players that we're not really sure yet whether they're good enough to be effective, not just to play in the Premier League, to be really effective players in this league, given some of the fees that were paid. So I think Chelsea is a tougher and a bigger job to get them to where they ultimately want to be.
But isn't this job, I totally agree with what you say, and I have no argument in that, but isn't this job kind of Pochettino's MO? Isn't this his thing? Isn't this what he did when he came to Spurs? When he bought Dele Alli, when he bought Harry Kane, when he had Dembele, when he had Rose at one in
but less change, Rob, wasn't there? There was less change there with personnel when he was at Spurs.
Yeah, there was, but I don't think I get the sense that he's enjoying this young project. A bit like Ten Hag, you're saying at Manchester United. I think he's enjoying it. I think he'll mould, and I think, you know, I think there's going to be more money at Chelsea than there's going to be at Spurs. I think they'll back him in the right way if they feel he's going in the right direction. I think this young talent that's needed at this football club, because it's gone stale at Chelsea. The whole thing was stale. Too many players, similar players, want to come in field, want to do their thing. I just think they're fitter, Rob, than I've seen them. Ben Chilwell looks like $1 million, mate. He looked $1 million running up and down the thing in pre-season. He's gotten fit back where they want to be. He's got a bit of hunger again. There's a couple of instances and a couple of goals where you see 3-4 players sliding and trying to score goals. Chelsea, that wasn't the Chelsea we've seen in the last 18 months, 2 years. There's a bit of a buzz again around the football club. Like, we know with Chelsea, there's a bit of swagger when things are going well, and that's important to the football club. I get a sense there's a little bit of that, not quite at the top levels again, but there's a little bit of that. Like, people are starting to enjoy it. They're starting to push their shoulders back with Chelsea again. I don't know. I feel the other way. I think if he can keep the momentum going, it all's potential. And it's young players who we don't know, some of them, what their end game's going to be. I think this De Sarcy, isn't it, they bought in, the French another defender. Yep. It's another good bit of business for them. When they get people fit and they start to piece it together, I kind of like what I'm seeing with Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like what I see, Rob. I'm just saying that in terms of an unknown,
I know he can do it. I think Spurs is tougher. I think Postecoglou going in at Spurs, the Harry Kane thing is incredible, and I'm sure you can talk about that, how that's all going to play out. I think trying to change a style in a way that a team have played where they haven't had the ball for the last 2 or 3 years with managers who wanted them to be pragmatic, sit back, win the ball, counter-attack. This guy wants him on the ball, wants to play, wants to build up, wants control of the football. I think that's going to change a few. I mean, Sonny's getting no younger. Harry, we don't know if he'll be there. I just think, I'm not sure with the Chelsea one. I've got to be honest. I think there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, the only thing, so where I differ from you there, Rob, is that, and by the way, you said it at the start of this little chat, is that we're taking it from right now. And right now, Harry Kane is a Spurs player. Correct. I just look at the lineup, Rob, And I know what I'm going to get from Harry Kane. I know what I'm going to get from Kulusevski, who had maybe had a drop off last year, but he's a good footballer. I know pretty much with Heung-Min Son in a team that wants the ball for a change and is proactive in trying to attack. I know what he can do. I absolutely love the signing of James Maddison. I think he's going to have an outstanding season. Brilliant, brilliant footballer. Technical quality is amazing. Question marks about the central midfield. New goalkeeper in Vicario.
Centre defence again.
Centre defence is a concern. He's got this Mickey van der Ven, hasn't he? Just signed this, player from Ajax.
Massive young boy, left-sided.
So if you play alongside Christian Romero, can be a little bit rash. You know, you've got options at right-back. Maybe not great options. You've got this, the kid that came back from loan. I can't remember his name now, at left-back for them, that wants to get forward. So it just, I feel like I know a bit more what to expect from the players that are on Spurs right now. Again, if Spurs, if Kane goes, let's just tear that all up and start again. But right now, you know, I feel like, and I really like what the manager's saying. I've watched all his press conferences. I've spoken to friends I have that were Celtic fans and what he did there and all before that. He has been successful, very successful, every single coaching job he's had. Granted, this jump up is a big jump, and he's never managed a, you know, that old chestnut of a top five European team. But I like how he's talking. I think the players are enjoying the style, Rob. It is going to be about pressing, about attack. He wants every player to pass the ball forward, to look forward, to run forward. He wants to play out from the back. He wants what the Spurs fans want. And to your point, Rob, it might be a difficult transition to make that work and to get wins and results. But pre-seasons look pretty good. I just hope that Harry Kane stays, Rob. And maybe now we should just touch on this story, this saga. You know, what Daniel Levy's trying to get or not trying to get, what Bayern Munich think they can pay to get him. Let me hear your take on Harry Kane before I come back.
Well, my first take is, he's handled himself and it impeccably. He's gone on about his business, Rob, still scoring goals in pre-season. Never said a word. It's basically said, if the football club want to cash in on me, I'll be happy to talk to the football club and see if I can arrange a deal. If not, I'll get on with the business. So he's handled himself impeccably. From the club's point of view, again, today I'm hearing it was a last and final offer by Munich. It's been refused. But rumours are that Munich will come with a little bit more because that's the way they do the business, and whether there's going to be another go or not. Apparently, Kane's said as well, again, I was listening a bit of local news over here in the UK, that his wife's due a baby soon. Yeah. So he wants it sorting out. Basically said he wants it sorting out this week so they know where they are with the birth of his child. It's a game. It's a club changer. We have game changer. It's a club changer. Harry Kane and that Spurs team have a chance of finishing in the top four if things go really well. Yeah, they have a chance of finishing in the top four. Harry Kane not in that team, they have no chance of getting in the top four. They struggle to get maybe in the top six.
Just on the move, Rob, right? I'm just trying to get into the head of Harry Kane here. Let me say how I feel about this. I feel like, for whatever reason, Daniel Levy does not want to sell Harry Kane to a direct competitor, right? Which is what Harry Kane would probably most dearly like. Now, we all know that Harry Kane's contract ends in 12 months. So if he refuses the Bayern Munich offer, which is a big offer, and it sounds like, by the way, that he fancies that move, and he might win a Bundesliga title. Maybe he's got a chance of winning the Champions League, which is all, of course, really, really important. I don't know, his salary probably doubles, et cetera, et cetera. But why doesn't he just stay where he is for 12 months, see the new project, and in 12 months' time, if it hasn't gone amazingly great and he wants to move on, he will have his pick of wherever he wants to go, and he's still scoring goals towards the Alan Shearer 260 Premier League goals record. Yeah. He's going to get closer to that, and in 12 months, he can go wherever he wants. It's not as though Harry Kane is a player that doesn't look after himself, Rob, and that doesn't keep himself fit. So in another year's time, he's not still going to be scoring goals. I don't get why he might contemplate leaving for Bayern Munich right now.
I think I get the sense he's saying almost like, because we don't know from Kane. I think he's saying that, you know, if the money's right and the club get what they want and I talk and they give me what I want, then
I go and win, and I win a Bundesliga title, and I get maybe, I don't know, quarterfinals, semifinals of the Champions League. I don't know. The alternative, and I think is more the point, Rob, if he doesn't go anyway, sits here for 12 months, by the way, he can pick any team in Europe.
I know.
Include Real Madrid and Barcelona in that as anybody. Well, by the way. And the top clubs in the UK. A Man City might go and take him up. United would jump at it.
And why wouldn't Daniel Levy, Rob? Again, I mean, there's obviously stuff that we don't know about this, but that 100 million, whatever it is, pounds, euros offer, right? That's going to be zero in 12 months' time. Why? Answer me the question. Why does Daniel Levy not say, that's kind of a lot of money. It's not a direct rival. We're kind of happy. Here you go, Harry. You want to move? He's still refusing that money.
Well, there seems to be something about the personality that he always wants every last inch of the deal.
It's
his
a risk,
way.
Isn't it?
It's a massive risk. It's a massive risk.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money for the football club. It also doesn't help in terms of, you know, thinking about replacements. You know, you let him go next season, Rob. You lose 30 goals guaranteed, and you've got to go and find somebody and pay extra money that you've not got. So, I mean, it's a crazy situation. It must be a nightmare for Postecoglou coming in as a new manager, wanting to play.
He's handled it brilliantly,
and fair play to him. And that's why he's an experienced manager, and that's why he's got the job. And we're hoping he starts well. But going to be an interesting story. We'll see, obviously, what happens between now and the end of August with that one. Okay, mate, just before we start to wrap things up, and we'll get to our kind of thoughts on top and bottom of the table. Let's just have a quick word on the three promoted teams, because three very different teams. Yep. Last question. How will the newly promoted teams fare in the Premier League this season? Let's start with the champions, Burnley. First in the championship, 101 points under Vincent Kompany. A very different Burnley than we saw under Sean Dyche. Much more possession-based, much more proactive with the ball. Much more comfortable through their build-up. Does some of that have to change? I know Burnley played Man City, who they're playing in the first game on Friday night at Turf Moor, I think it was the FA Cup last season, got beat 6. Is there a bit of changing some of what you did in the Championship to give yourself a chance in the Premier League, Rob? Or I was thinking about, interestingly, Fulham. And I thought, Fulham came up out of the Championship. Last season, Fulham didn't particularly change. Of course, they were a little bit harder to play against. I thought their organisation was good. But they didn't have the ball at times and play and want to build up. And I wonder, could do you think this Burnley team could do something similar?
I don't think they'll have the success that Fulham had, Rob. I do think that they will stick to their principles. I think they have to now. I mean, and a remarkable job, Rob. A remarkable job by Vincent Kompany. We're not having this conversation. We're not talking about Burnley going into a Premier League season without that appointment of Vincent Kompany. Brilliant job. Still very young manager, Rob. Only a few seasons doing the coaching part. I do think, apart from the team, it's an incredible step up for Vincent Kompany, for the decisions that he's got to make, for the teams he's got to pick, for the managers and the coaches and the smartest guys in the game working in the Premier League, he's got to come up against and figure out ways with his football or with his defensive nous to get results. It's an incredible step up for him as a manager, which I can't wait to see. You know, it's one thing to find a way to beat some of the Championship sides and to play some football and out-possess but then to bring that into the Premier League, you know, with some of the bright minds and that's another level. Importantly, Rob, for me at the moment, they've lost a couple of important players. Nathan Taller was their top goalscorer from Southampton on loan. He's gone back there. And Ian Matson that you saw in the same series at Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea, an important lovely player. As well.
Now they have made signings. The new goalkeeper, James Trafford.
Just here today, mate, and I know you'll like this one. They are close to signing Sander Berge.
Yeah, like
Sheffield United.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're close to doing that business today, I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, good player, good physicality, good on the ball. Surprised he ended up staying with Sheffield United. Thought he might have got a Premier League move. So I just think it's going to be great to see them. We're going to get them first down. We're going to be pitch side at Turf Moor on the first Friday. Actually, Friday of this week. Amazing, I think.
It's Friday,
UK and do that again.
So James Chafford in goal, isn't he?
He's going to be, and he's one of them. He's confident on the ball.
Plays out with the ball. Box.
He's going to be that sort of style. So fascinating. And well done the club, by the way. I tell you what,
absolutely.
I remember saying, if Burnley go down, we ain't going to see him for many a season. Mm. Wow, yeah. You make the right appointment. Yeah. I didn't see this coming. Wow, they've bounced back.
The chairman, Alan Pace, who's going to come to our desk, I think, with JJ Watt, hopefully, on Friday. So, yeah, we'll get a chance to speak to him. And it's interesting, Robbie, you know, a point I was just looking in at their form, 101 points in the championship. Yeah, dominated. Lost one game at home last season at the 26. Mm. Lost one game at home, which they're going to need that kind of... To give themselves a chance, because you're going to go, as you say, there's some clever coaches, there's some really good players, and they're going to be going, you know, away to some grounds where it's going to be difficult. Mm. You might not see the ball at times. Mm. When they get teams at Turf Moor, it's so important that they make that bit of a fortress to give themselves a chance. Okay, mate, let's talk about Sheffield United, because we saw them come up under Paul Heckenbottom. Doing a good job. Solid 3-4-3 system. That's the way he wants his team to play. Well organized, quite compact. I did a little bit of looking, watching a few of the games and a few of the highlights, seeing a little bit of pre-season with them. What are the chances of Sheffield United doing? Like last time they came up with Chris Wilder, remember they finished ninth in the league, had the overlapping centre backs to three and caused some problems and got goals. Without having a really main striker, everybody was chipping him in goals around the pitch. Where do you see them this time, Rob?
I think it's going to be difficult, Rob. You know, Ken, we always look at the teams that come up and we see what they've got. How do they do? Like for Burnley, it's 101 points. You know, it's the basis of a very good team. Sheffield United finished second in the Championship last year. They come up, they lose. I believe their top goal scorer of last year, player's gone to Marseille, Ndiaye, for $20 million. Yeah. And that's his boyhood club. And Sheffield United and Heckenbottom has said, like, we kind of get it. He wanted to go back to that club. Benny Chiori is a 20-year-old striker from the Swedish league, Rob, that's super young, but maybe he's got the upside to be able to play in the Premier League, because you don't really know for many, many players. You can have Oliver McBurney, Rob, Rian Brewster, the same kind of... I just worry, is there enough quality and goals in this team to be able to keep away from the relegation zone? And I don't know. You know, I really don't know that they've got enough. Of course, there's a little bit of time left in the window. If they're going to sell Sander Berger, Rob, one of their better players, I think I don't know. It doesn't look like at the moment they're going to spend a ton of money to try and stay in the division. And that's something, Rob, that maybe is a chat for another day, whether, you know, that gap of staying in the league and what you need
You've got to give yourself a chance, haven't you? Got to give yourself a chance.
But it's hard. It's hard to commit the money to then to go down. And I don't know. So I fear for Sheffield United is one of those that have come up. What about you?
Get the sense. No, I'm similar and just get the sense that they're just going to have to be very good without the ball, mate. At times, they're not going to be in possession. They're going to be hard to play against and grind some out. And they'll have some good days. And we know the fans that... we'll get behind them in the home games, and they'll have an atmosphere, and you know the big boys will go and they'll enjoy that. But just hope they don't get off to a bad start, and it starts to, you know, affect players and a little bit of confidence. But listen, we saw last season three teams stay up, mate, and we thought that, you know, that the likes of Bournemouth and Forest wouldn't make it, and Fulham all stayed up. So listen, they're in with a fighting chance, and fair play to Paul Heckenbottom. You know, he went down, he got his head down, he's built a solid team. Whether they're going to be good enough to stay in the Premier League, we will wait and see. And then the third team, mate, is almost like this fairy tale, isn't it? It's Luton Town. It's Rob Edwards, the coach. They've gone from almost being out of business and down at the foot of the football pyramid to finding themselves in the Premier League, winning the playoffs against Coventry. We've all seen the pictures of the stadium. We've all seen the pictures of the ground and how small and what it's going to be. Mm. Can... Two things on this one, Rob, for me. And I was thinking about it. I was just doing doing a little bit of research, looking at Luton, looking at the way they play. They like to be
kind of five at the back, 5-3-2, but they get, you know, people into midfield, try and make things happen at the top end of the pitch. Rob Edwards got a very good kind of CV, well respected in the game. He was the guy who went to Watford for a few weeks and they got rid of him and ended up at Luton and ended up, you know, taking Luton into the Premier League. Two things that kind of, wouldn't say bugged me, but it's interesting with the, have they at times got to get a little bit away from the little Luton? Oh, it's little Luton, the fairy tale. Here they come. Let's play Luton. No, they got people. It's little Luton. Is there a little bit of that that's got to be like, okay, we have that, but you, as a player, Rob, I wouldn't like that. I've got to be honest. I understand why we're being named and, you know, there's going to be the comparisons and how much money and how many crowd. But at the end of the day, now we're in the Premier League. We're a Premier League football club for one season. I don't want to be always known as Little Luton.
I hear that, Rob, but I mean, God, blimey, given you that the way that you think about it, I mean, you of course love the story here.
Yeah,
the romantic notion of this club.
But the story can work against you because you get all that coy.
I think you can use it, Rob. I feel it can use it. Like right now, this first season, I think you can use it, little old Luton.
When we were Wimbledon, we used it. We were little Wimbledon, but we weren't little Wimbledon. No, we were little Wimbledon. No, we've got BEL. Oh, we got this. Oh, little Wimbledon corner. We were little Wimbledon, but we're punching, mate. We're going to punch above our weight.
I think they will punch. Good. You were
that's not my point. Well, right. That's my point, that they don't get caught into the little Luton thing and stop
and not being
competitive as they need to be. Give themselves a chance.
Yeah. And I think they will, Rob. I think they will.
Good.
You said about the system. I watched a few games and those wing-backs get forward. They swing balls in there. They're pretty direct at time Luton Town. They've got these two forwards. Yeah. You talked about Carlton Morris and Adebayo, the two centre-forwards that can play.
Yeah.
Adebayo can play. He's a young, tall striker. His Mert Barney runs into the channel. He's got
good
clever little mix.
By the way, as well. Dangerous set-piece team.
Yeah. So, you know, they've done a little bit in the market. What's a good story, Rob? I just read this morning. Pelle Rudek Mpanza has just signed a contract extension. He's been there since 2013. He's the only player, I think, that's had four promotions. They went to from non-league, promotion,
absolutely,
into the Premier League. It's amazing, Rob, to think that when we started our coverage with NBC, with this Premier League, they were a non-league team. They were a non-league
incredible
team.
It's a good shout.
And
it's really
we've
good
done
shout.
It. They've come all the way up to the Premier League. It's an amazing story. And there's
and that's what's great about English football, isn't it? There is what's great about English football.
Yeah, and there's a video out there, Rob, and I just mentioned this. I watched it this morning doing my little workout in my basement. There's a video, and I think it's called The Fall and Rise of Luton Town. It's just been released. I think it might be on the NBC Sports Soccer YouTube channel. And it's I think it's an 11-minute clip of kind of their story and where they went to, and 30 points deducted to relegate them to the non-league and all the problems. And Big McArthur saying that, I thought the club was done, thought we were absolutely done. It is an astonishing story that I'm sure we will tell over the season to come. But when we see, you know, Kenilworth Road, the Kenny as they call it, is getting some work done to try and bring it up to a Premier League standard. I think it's just over 10,000 seats that it was. Maybe that would change. But, you know, I'm not looking too much further than what an unbelievable story. The way that they play, the two strikers, the direct nature of it. I think it's, and this player that's been there from 13 to now, he's just signed a new deal, and Panzer can play at the back or in midfield. It's an astonishing story. And I give him a chance, Rob. I give him a chance to stay in the division.
Good.
Just everybody on the same page. Maybe you're right. Maybe they haven't got to be timid about it and be look at, you know, these stadiums and these players.
Be in awe of all the big players. Yeah. Get in there and give it a go. They deserve it. They've earned it. And they're going to be a great addition. They're going to be a great addition to the Premier League. So much looking forward to them. And all the two teams who come up, very different styles, different managers, different ways of doing it. But, you know, we saw all three stay up last year. Who's to say that we couldn't this year? There's one or two teams, Rob, who are sitting above, who are in that league, who aren't in great shape, one or two others.
I know we're going to wrap up, Rob, in a second, right, with some predictions.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, just to the format here, let's just chuck in a few honourable mentions here.
I've got a little list myself.
We've got We've got to quickly talk at West Ham. I feel we've got to talk Everton. But West Ham, Rob, I think today Edson Alvarez is the Mexican defensive midfield player that might have signed Rob as their first signing for West Ham United. Yeah. Is there going to be trouble for David Moyes this year?
Yeah, there is, mate. I'm afraid. And brilliant scenes, a brilliant night in Europe. We saw the celebration. We saw what it meant to that football club to lift the trophy for all those years. But I think these difficult times ahead, and part of me, Rob, and I hope I'm wrong, but part of me looks like they're almost going like, he's not our guy. He's not the one we're going to really back. So we'll start. Let's get going. And then if things don't go well, the inevitable will happen. And then when we get our guy, Graham Potter, Thomas Frank, chucking random names as though, but when we get that guy, then we'll support him, and then we'll do. It just looks to me like
it's a matter of time
before they set up to fail. He's been set up to fail. It looks like to me, it's going to be set up to. See, Scamacca's just gone, hasn't he, today? That bit of business. I mean, not that he's scoring that particularly goals, and it was a great move. And you can look at David Moyes and say he struggled to find a centre forward. Mm. Still has to go back to Antonio and the likes. I can't see too much good news coming out of West Ham in the early part of the season, I've got to be honest.
Well, digging around, Rob, these last couple of days, and there is a new technical director at West Ham United. It's a guy called Tim Steinten, and he is a German, and he's looking at a different pool of players than David Moyes. And we've talked about this before. Director of football and coach have got to be on the same page. They've got to work well together. David Moyes reportedly wants proven Premier League players, and the amount of players they've missed out on, Robert, West Ham United is pretty amazing. Yeah. Actually, you know what? James Ward-Prowse is a good example of somebody that he wants to bring in. I think there's a Maguire. I think it was João Pelinha's another player that's
Maguire,
missed so many.
McTominay.
So Moyes wants proven players in this league, and the new director, kind of wants younger European. He doesn't know that market so well. He wants different. Yeah. So there's a conflict right there. And that's got to be the reason why they are struggling with the season starting in 5 or 6 days to bring anybody in. Yeah, one player they brought in with all that money burning a hole in their pocket from Declan Rice. So that's just a quick, you know.
To keep an eye on, isn't it? First 10 games of the season, things don't go well. What about Everton, my friend, and Sean Dyche? I mean, we were there last day of the season. Mm. Decore with a beautiful strike that keeps them up, that there's a relief, that there's a chance, and that, you know, the fans we're talking to and saying, you know, it's 2 years on the run, we can't do this anymore. And I look at lack of business again, Rob, lack of depth of quality. You know, this squad has one or two injuries. If Calvert-Lewin goes down again
He's not having a full pre-season, Rob. He's not.
Yeah,
he's
Demarai Gray's looking to get out. They're talking about him going to Fulham. They've sold Ellie Sims to Coventry. I mean, Sean Dyche, as hard he can work and as much as he can try and get this organised, it looks like another tough term for Everton, mate.
Yeah. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is the one that's like, I don't know the details of his injury, Rob, or injuries he's had. I know he's had a hamstring. But I'm reading that in pre-season they're after nursing him through from his injury for his rehab. Yeah. He's got a special, like,
He's not reliable. Is your let's go to your favourite word, mate.
No, he's not durable.
He's the durable word. But
we know, Rob, right? And we can say this on this podcast. We know the importance of a full pre-season. And I'll say it every single when I had a full pre-season, I didn't miss a day or in the game. I went on to
a
good strong
season.
It's such a big foundation. And reading that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is not engaging in a full preseason is a concern. Yeah. Arnaud Danjuma, the guy they tried to get by before from Villarreal, they finally got him. He was at Spurs last year on loan. That's someone to maybe produce from a wider area. Ashley Young. I mean, Ashley Young's a free transfer from Aston Villa. Yeah. I mean, it's decent business. But as you said, back to the window, you know, if you're an Everton fan, you're disappointed that I know the financial fair play issues obviously continue. There's been board change, Rob. I think three of the board directors, with all that, the stick about the directors, have left the club. So there's still good stuff going on outside of the the stadium, if you like, in the background that he's still got to sort out. The new stadium apparently is going to be now for the back end of 2024. So maybe the start of next season, they won't be in
next
it.
Season. Yeah.
So, but if there's one guy in, you know, in that club that can make a difference, it's Sean Dyche.
And he gets on with it, doesn't he, to be fair?
I still think they'll be okay while he's there. And, you know, we'll see what they can do in the last few weeks of the window. And the last one, Rob, I think...
I just had a couple of other ones, but go on.
I was going to chuck in Wolves. Lopetegui. Basically, reports saying he's threatening to walk out the club.
Yeah,
based on...
I'm a bit worried about them. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about them. Yeah, there's financial fair play, players going out the door, no real bringing players in, not what he was, you know, not what he was sold as when he came in. Obviously, quality manager, good operator, and he must be thinking like, this isn't doing his reputation any good.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And you know, Ruben Neves, midfield player going, Jean Moutinho being released, Rob. That's your centre midfield that's been pretty good over the last few years. You got to get a whole different centre forward. Raul Jimenez, maybe he hasn't been in the best form. He's left the football club. Nathan Collins left the club as well. And, you know, without, I think Fabio Silva, Rob, is going to come back from loan.
He's back in. I saw him playing in a friendly, at the weekend.
I think he's been away on loan at Anderlecht and PSV. So he's back. So maybe, you know, if he rejigs it, but it's about the manager being able to get him going again. It's going to be difficult. Yeah.
I just had three London clubs, mate, and I just want to get... So, Brentford, one or two people thinking, is it going to be difficult for Brentford this time? Third season in the league, no Ivan Toney for halfway. I don't see it. I think Brentford have got enough. Love the manager. I think there's a decent group of players there. I don't have any major worries with Brentford. Fulham, again, not great pre-season, Rob. A lot of work with Premier League Summer Series, Mitrovic not involved. There's talk of Marco Silva going. Willian, there's talk about now. Bit of unrest there. And Palace is the other one, mate. That's just getting a few mentions. It's not been as much business in there. Wilf's come out. You know, Roy did a brilliant job going in, and it's got Elise and Eze. But people are sort of saying, it hasn't quite, you know, shaken up. Again, I think all three will be okay, but people are sort of putting them out there. You know, could this be a bit of a shaky season?
Yeah, listen, we could go on every single team and talk about a story. Yeah. I will just chuck, as we kind of get ready to finish up, Robin, I know it's been a long one, but Wilf Zaha leaving the club, end of his contract. No, I kind of get it if he would have left. How can I say this without being disrespectful? But Galatasaray, like, are you surprised that he ended up going there?
If it's a Champions Milan League or preliminary round or and things.
Madrid or something like that. I get it, but are you surprised at that move?
I was surprised that you've got such a legendary status at Crystal Palace. You either decided you got to the end of the contract and you want to go and test something different, do something, you know, challenge yourself in a different way, whether you want to move abroad. I get all that, but
I mean, it's a massive club, by the way.
It is a massive club, and I'm not going to be disrespectful in terms of fan base and the sort of relationship, but. It's not quite what, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's the right ending to what, you know, is going to be probably his last move, you know, if things don't work out, does he come back again? It's going to be hard to go back to Palace, having, you know, done what he's done now. So, a little surprised myself as well. I thought he was going to stay, and I know a few people at the club, I think, thought he was going to stay and, you know, finish things off. Things are going well. Some good young players there now. But, it didn't quite work. And that's it. Okay, mate. Listen, just before we wrap things up, because I know our viewers and listeners like us, just kind of give a little sense of where we think top and bottom serve. So instead of going like top four in this order, because, again, we've got three more weeks of this month in the transfer window. A lot can change. But just in terms of where we start the day, I think, I feel City will be top and I think Arsenal will be second. And I'll put a thought out there now. I've got three teams for the two places under them in Champions League. I've got Liverpool, I've got Man United and I've got Newcastle. And to be honest, I don't know which one. One could finish second, third and one could finish fifth, and I don't know which one is which.
Yeah, listen, I'm not too far away from that, Robert. I think we always reserve a bit of a right to
yeah,
be a bit more definitive on these predictions when the window's closed. But right now, you know, I think in terms of the title, I will go with Arsenal. I think Arsenal have got better. I do doubt whether this City team, as great and as resilient and as mentally tough as it's been, can go again and win a record fourth one on the spin, which would be incredible.
Okay.
And I do like what Arsenal have done. I think the young players will have grown, will have learned, would have been hurt by the things that happened late on in the season. You know, the players they brought in, you know, again, I'm assuming there that Havertz is a success and he finds his best spot and produces. So I'm going to go for Arsenal. Of course, I've got to have Man City in it. I do think Liverpool, from what they've done, from their year off, their gap year, whatever, will, with those front players, with a rejig midfield, love McAllister again in that area. Again, assuming they get an appropriate and a decent defensive midfield player, can finish in the top four. And on that last spot, I kind of go back and forth, really, Rob. I just, like I said earlier in this show, Newcastle's Champions League involvement might just mean they drop a few more points. And I do like, even though there's a bit of inconsistency about the lineup of Man United with those front players and what you're going to get from some of these guys, particularly Rasmus Højlund, the new striker, I still think they will find a way into that top four, Rob. So that's the four that I would go for with Newcastle. Yeah, very, very close. Yeah,
very close. And at the bottom end, we always have to do this as well, and it's always difficult. And I hate to do it to the teams that come up, but I've got to say, I think two of the three. I think Luton will go. I think Sheffield United will go. And then I've got two teams. One of the more established. I think either Bournemouth or Wolves will go.
Well, we didn't touch on Bournemouth, Rob, but. No. What I've read about Iraola, I remember commentating on him when he was at Bilbao as a player, as a fullback. There's a lot of good things. And that's,
again, a lot of good things,
there's a lot of good things that's been reported about him.
High press, wants to play, win the ball back, turnovers.
Yeah. Vallecano was a team in Spain. He took into the top flight. They ended up beating Barcelona, Real Madrid, and got great results. A really brave move from the club. And I literally spat my tea out in the morning that I read that Gary O'Neill had been fired from Bournemouth. I'm like, wow, after what he's just done. But fair play. That's a proactive move from a club. It's like, wow, they think they've upgraded there. So I think they'll be okay. I will put Wolves in my bottom four, Rob. I will put Wolves in it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that Lopetegui, he had a bit of a bit of a fire up last year about the financial fair play. This wasn't what he was sold as being manager. And their transfer business is weak right now. So I worry about Wolves midfield different. And I think Burnley, with what they did last year with the manager, of course, for all three of them, it's going to be difficult. I think Burnley will stay up. I think the weakest team this year is going to be Sheffield United. And I will reluctantly put Luton Town in it, Rob, but I think they might surprise a few with what they do in that little stadium, with their direct style of play, which is so different to what most of us, almost everything else in Premier League now is silky play out from the back. I don't think you're going to see it at Luton. I think it's going to be a lot of long balls to the front too. Wing backs whipping balls in, a little bit more old school from them, which will give them a chance. But sadly, I think that won't quite be enough quality to stay in the league. So I'd say Sheffield United, Luton and Wolves for now.
Yeah, it is only for now, my friend. We've got three more weeks and we'll address it then. Listen, mate, great stuff as ever. We're back. It's back. The Premier League starts in just a few days. It's a season of, I think, lots of questions for lots of teams. And we're going to bring you some of the answers as the season unfolds. Make sure you join us. Coverage starts on Friday, August the 11th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on USA from Turf Moor, where Burnley hosts Manchester City. So champions of the Championship play champions of the Premier League. We will be there. And then we'll be there all weekend. And join us on August the 14th from the touchline at Old Trafford, when we'll have a quick review at the start of the season. Who's made the stories? Who's made the good starts? Who maybe needs a little work to do? So we'll do all that from the touchline at Old Trafford on Monday night. That's August 14th. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. We'll see you in Manchester next week. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.